This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen Skeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. There are not many moments you can point to that changed history. One of them occurred 100 years ago today. Albert Einstein finished writing a scientific paper, the first of a group of papers that would transform modern physics. During the next few months, Morning Edition will air a series of reports on what scientists call Einstein's miraculous year. NPR's Richard Harris has our first report.
When Albert Einstein finished his studies at university, he couldn't get a job in academia, so he took a job at the Swiss Patent Office.
He liked the job, he was good at it, and it left him time to think. And so he thought, and in 1905 he had an incredible outpouring of productive, substantive papers.
John Rigdon, a historian, has just written a book about Einstein's remarkable year. Out of that year came his theory of special relativity and the formula E equals mc squared. The first paper he wrote is less celebrated, but no less important. It was about the nature of light.
The big idea was that light consists of a particle. And that flew in the face of 100 years of very good experimental evidence, and it flew in the face of the crowning achievement of 19th century physics, namely, the electromagnetic theory of light, where light was an electromagnetic wave.
Rigdon says, in some ways, it was the most radical of all Einstein's discoveries.
It is the only paper that Einstein himself called revolutionary. Now, you know, what does it take for a paper to be revolutionary? Well, one, it has to have some kind of a big idea. Number two, it has to go against the grain of what people think about reality. It has to be rejected by all of the people who are capable of judging it. But eventually, it has to become part of the woodwork of physics.
Einstein's first paper of 1905 fit that description to a T. You can get a common sense idea of just how radical the idea is by hanging out at a pool hall. The music and voices you hear are waves. They vibrate the air, but they have no substance. There's no such thing as a particle of sound. Billiard balls, on the other hand, are like particles, and when they run into each other, you know it. Throughout the 19th century, physicists did countless experiments proving that light acts just like waves. But Einstein realized that his colleagues were essentially ignoring experiments that showed light sometimes acts like billiard balls. For example, when intense light strikes an atom in a piece of metal, it can knock free an electron. No wave could do that.
And so it was Einstein that saw that there was a real problem here when light is emitted or absorbed by an atom, that you could not deal with light as a wave in that process.
Basically, Einstein was saying light acts both as a particle and a wave. I have trouble with that idea today.
Yes, everybody does. Everybody does.
And Rigdon says the skepticism was even deeper back in 1905.
No one accepted it. I mean, really, no one.
One of the great scientists of all time, the French philosopher, mathematician, and physicist Henri Poincaré, thought that the idea that something could be both a particle and a wave was so contradictory that it threatened the very idea of science.
Peter Galison is a science historian at Harvard University.
That was a fairly typical reaction.
The notion that something can be two things at once seems to defy common sense. It sounds more mystical than scientific. But Galison says the reaction really reveals more about the nature of intuition than it does about the nature of the universe.
Our intuitions change. At the time that Descartes, back in the 17th century, said that an object that was put in motion would travel in a straight line forever without changing its speed, that was not at all intuitive to people. And even somebody like Galileo thought that that wasn't so. So our intuitions are learned. They're hard-won understandings of the world that we come to grasp over a very long period of time.
Galison says part of Einstein's genius was a kind of intellectual humility. He didn't claim to understand the entire nature of light in his 1905 paper, but he did realize that he had an important insight.
As he says, we're out of our depth when we ask certain questions, and we have to be able to understand parts of theories, parts of the world, without being able to expect to understand it all right now in its completeness and complexity. And that certain modesty, philosophical or epistemological modesty in front of the world, to know that we can grasp corners of things without the whole of it, might be a lesson that extends beyond the particular theory of light.
It took the great minds of physics well over a decade before they realized Einstein was right about light, and even then recognition came grudgingly. In 1922, long after Einstein's genius was undeniable, Galison says the Nobel Prize Committee was still too timid to acknowledge his biggest, most earth-shaking ideas.
The Nobel Prize itself was not given to him for general relativity, not given to him for special relativity. It was given to him for this work, and then within this work, really focusing on idea that he could explain these experiments where you shine light at a metal, for instance, and you can knock electrons out of it. In other words, they chose the narrowest piece of the really great accomplishments that Einstein had done and focused on that.
And it really wasn't until after World War II that physicists finally developed a theory that fully explained the strange dual personality of light. Richard Harris, NPR News.